Lakeland Sports Guys at Howard's on Main in Uptown Greenwood. Glad to have you with us. I'm Tom Carroll. Chris Cox joining you. And Howard was in rare form today. And speaking of rare form, Clyde was in a bad mood when we got here, but he seems to have turned around. But for the most part, wasn't us that did it. I think it was the pretty ladies that were having the party upstairs.
Let's hope
turning
not.
It around for him. Glad to have you along with us. Got a lot to talk about. The tennis playoffs are underway. We got a lot of the others that are going to take part next week. Get started Tuesday and Thursday, and Wednesday and Thursday, and all that. We're talking softball, baseball, soccer, all that. The playoffs get started next week. But the tennis ones get started for the guys this week. Greenwood got a bye, and we'll talk a little bit about who their next opponent is going to be coming up here, because they got a match coming up today, as a matter of fact. It'll be underway, I think, at 5 o'clock. So.
Sounds good.
Going to be fun. But, Chris, how are you, my friend?
I'm good, man. One of my favorite days of the year. I know you're not a big NFL guy, but I am. But it's draft day.
It is draft day. My Bears have the number one pick, thanks to the Carolina Panthers.
Your other team.
The other team that I was pulling for team. That, I don't know, maybe I just ought to quit pulling
sold
for anybody.
Sold the soul to get it. But, well, you got number one pick, man. You got a lot of options to do it with. And so do I do, too. It's the third pick. So, kind of we trade. I really want to trade down and go with somebody else. The quarterback's going to be at the bottom of that list, too. So it's a fun day, man. It's an all-day event. It goes from, what, 8 till about 1 in the morning?
Yeah, it goes a long
time. And then it goes tomorrow and Saturday.
Well, the thing with it, though, this time around, is not really at a place that I would call entertainment value-wise. I mean, you had it in, what, L.A. last year?
Vegas the year before that.
I mean, and you go to Detroit?
8 Mile, man. Come on. Eminem's going to be there rocking it.
No, I've been through Detroit. There's nothing spectacular.
Well, they set up outside of Ford Field, so maybe it's cleaned up a little bit since I was there in the Motor City. But should be a great time. I mean, I think it's pretty cool because the Lions have like the 10th or 12th pick, so that's going to give them some interest too. And, I mean, what do you need if you're Coach Campbell with that team? Probably more defense. But just a really fun day. Like I said, it's nothing compared to what we got Lakeland's going on, but – it'll be interesting to talk about it on Monday to see who goes where.
And see where they end up. Of course, on Thursday, we'll kind of give you a little preview show for think of where you might think things are going to end up going. That ought to be fun.
To be decent. I mean,
we'll
I worry about one team, that's New England.
And you think they're going to trade down is what you're
– I hope so. I mean, I don't like Drake May. We've already seen what a North Carolina quarterback can do with the Commanders, Redskins is who I call them, but in Sam Howell, and I think Drake's the same type development player. And nothing against, you know, Coach Brown over there in North Carolina, what they do, but just didn't work out there. And I mean, I'm still got hopes on the other guy. So this in New England, I think it's a good enough team that we can win. I know with our new coach, he's a linebacker, so we're going to be defensive warrior, and so it'll be a fun draft for you to follow my Patriots.
Yeah, well, I always do follow.
So because we always
were
look
they
at
thinking.
What, well, you know, and there again, that's not on the table this year. Bill's gone, so I mean, logic may come back into play, but I always like Bill Belichick and what he getting these players we've never heard of, a kicker that can play quarterback and punt and play defense too if we need him to. And I mean, that's the days that are going. That's why I said somebody said it took a chance on Bill Belichick. But fun times, man. You got some new coaches in it. Your favorite coaches are the Chargers now. So see what he can do, the ex-Michigan coach.
And folks want to know what Atlanta's going to do too. That's the other one that's got a big question mark next to it.
So. I think Atlanta does. I think they go with Spencer Rattler. I just don't think they give him the money. I think they free agent sign him. We'll see. It'll be Carolina, Atlanta that's going to keep the Gamecocks, Tigers, SEC, some of the local teams in check or in tow, so to speak. And they're going to take local guys. And, I mean, I've always liked that about Atlanta and the Panthers. And it's going to be interesting to see. You got a guy like Bryce Young. Let's talk about the Panthers real quick. They're like you said, they kind of are down toward the draft. They get a chance to get a big wide receiver. Do you take it?
Yeah, I think you do.
Because you got – I'm going to tell you, Marvin Harrison will be off the board. I mean, he's like – should be probably the third pick. But you got that kid from Washington, Romo Dunze. You got some really good receivers in it this year that could impact that team. You and I are along the same lines with our team. So, I think Patriots and Panthers need to start line play on both sides of the ball, offense, defensive line, and go defense the rest of the way and see what we can do. There's a stat that I didn't talk to you about. It's XFL. First time in 15 of the XFL games they played already, That's all the teams combined. Mm-hmm. They missed their first field goal.
Wow.
A kid missed the first field goal, and they were four games in. That's amazing, considering that NFL was the worst in field goal percentage last year. So maybe The Rock knows what he's doing, and somebody's going to take a shot at right there. So it'll be fun. Like I said, we'll talk about it Monday. We aches and pains and groans and what goes along with it.
Well, I'll start the campaign now, Rock for NFL commissioner.
Hey, I mean, I like the league. I mean, I like the USFL. I like that the XFL, the old way that they were running things. They've kind of solidified it to where it makes more sense with football. But I do like the rules and how fast that they get the replays done. I think The Rock has a stopwatch on the officials that are doing the replays, and if they're under like 20 seconds, it gives them another $1 million or something, because those guys are just quick. They talk about it before, they go to it, and they give you the decision, and they don't even go anywhere. They just make the call with themselves. And it's over in like 30 seconds. So.
Right. All right, so we'll talk about that on that'll be fun to talk about on Monday, where everybody ends up over the past three rounds, where Carolina and Clemson and some of these Coastal Carolina and some of those guys end up. Of course, we're all watching to find out where.
Yeah, we got one in particular in mind.
So we'll see how
he and we certainly does. Hope he is drafted. I want Sam to be drafted.
Well, we're all saying, and if you ask Mr. Joe Orley, we're all saying, what, fifth round to seventh round, somewhere in there?
I think if you wait that long, I think somebody's going to be smart enough to take him.
Yeah, well, we'll see where Sam goes. So that'll be an
You're
eye-opener.
Getting a good receiver, I will say that. Whoever gets him is getting a great receiver.
Getting a sure hands guy and a guy that likes to run routes too. So
and it's working on speed.
Working on his speed, yeah. All right, well, let's switch it over to the local area and what's going on. You sent this to me yesterday? It was Tuesday you sent it to
probably,
me.
Probably, yeah.
And that is there's a fifth grader over there in Lawrence that is like – totally dynamite in baseball and also in gymnastics. And she, as a matter of fact, only 10 years old. Her name's Kennedy Ross. She is going to be the lone representative from Lawrence in the inaugural Little League Girls with game experience in Wilmington, Pennsylvania this summer. So she went ahead and put her name in the hat, is going to be gets the honor to go ahead and do this. So that's huge. I didn't know there was a girls' baseball league.
In the past, it's just when you go to Williams Point, you got to be good enough to make it on the – and most of these young ladies do go to the guys' team and they play that way up. But this is a new thing they got going. I think it's cool because that puts, you know, more parents at Williams Point, more interest in Williams Point, and put a little more series. So I when I saw it, I was like, wow. Yes. Kind of reminded me of a ponytail story from last year.
Phenomenal. And she's also a gymnast, and she's doing gymnastics right now. She is a level 6. And in case you don't know, there's 10 levels in gymnastics. You start out at 1, which is the basic, and you go to 10, which is Olympic material in that regard. But she is a 6 right now, which means she's pretty doggone good in just about everything and has some more skills to work on and getting. But, I mean, this is a phenomenal athlete.
Plenty of time, man. She's how old again? 13?
She's only 12.
Oh, 12.
Excuse me, 10. She's 10.
Oh, yeah, she's got plenty of time.
So she's got plenty of time to do all of that. But, the Ross family, they moved down from the Pennsylvania area down into Lawrence is where his job ended up taking him. And now they get a chance to go back and let her play. And that's, you know, probably when she was playing up there, everybody took notice of what was going on and who she was. More or less, now she gets a chance to go back and do all that. So that's big news
there.
That's
awesome.
That just means big things for baseball. Could she play high school baseball in that regard?
Possibly.
If she gets up there.
I mean, you're talking about an athlete. You're definitely talking about an athlete. She's doing. She probably does cheer. She probably does she does gymnastics. She does softball / baseball. If Lawrence, I guess, well, Lawrence does have a softball team, so we do know that. So.
She'd be dynamite at it.
She would, and expect it.
Yeah, but I like what she said in the article to the Lawrence paper up there. She said that she plans to keep fueling her passion for sports in the future. She hopes to be have a career in coaching and building her gymnasium and design leotards.
Tom Kerr, at 10 years old, I was playing with G.I. Joes.
I wasn't thinking of my future.
I wasn't thinking about a 10-year-old that plays that's going to Williamsport to Little League World Series first and foremost. But and then as a gymnast level six, as you said, you probably got a lot of high school girls trying out for gymnastics that aren't level sixes already. So
there are that many that come down. I mean, gymnastics around here is pretty big. I mean, you got High Point that it took over the old YMCA gymnastics spot over there, and those girls continue to keep winning. And matter of fact, we should probably head on over there and interview a couple of them because they've got their nationals coming up here over the course of the next month or two as well.
You got that. Like I said, that High Point's, you know, it's big. We got, you know, you got a girl here that's doing it. She's bringing cheer to Emerald. So I'm excited for Caroline for that. So.
Well, let's talk about that because Emerald High School announced it this week. And lots of reason to celebrate when you look at it. But head coach Sydney Aguilar is going to be head of the competitive cheer competition, the 2024-25 season to go along with all that. Emerald's going to have both a JV and a varsity sideline cheer for football, led by head coach Kason Wright, and the varsity cheer for basketball to go along with that. And with the new additions, these three cheer programs are going to be assets to the school and provide, I think, some more opportunities for Emerald High School in the cheering area.
Exactly. Much needed, I mean, because, like I said, it's something that's kind of gone by the wayside. You know, Lander has it. Mm-hmm. I'm sure Erskine probably has it now also. So you're starting to just see things come to fruition with the high schools as well and working together. And that's why I said, I hate Caroline's not here today. We can do a quick interview with her and see what's going on with that. But maybe we'll try to work on that for next week. But like I said, when I saw that on the Emerald site, I said, man, I got to send that to you because we actually know a couple of them that are going to be doing this. So.
Yeah, it's going to be fun. But if you're interested also, I need to let you know the Greenwood District 50 students in 7th and 8th grade and Emerald High School students in 9th through 12th are eligible to try out for the team. Which is good news. Also, competitive cheer and football sideline programs are going to be held at Emerald coming up on this Monday. May 20th. Monday, May 20th through Wednesday, May the 22nd, 4 p.m. to 6 p.m. So you need to make plans to head on out there. But you need to have your physical done and in the works. And by the way, there is a sports physical offering that's going to be taking place at Emerald High School on Thursday of next week, May the 2nd. 3:30 is when it happens. Athletes, you need to have your physical updated in order to be eligible to participate in the tryouts and also for next year. So this is a chance to get it all done right there, right now.
One place, one shop stop, as they say, man, get your physicals done at Emerald and then get signed up. Tommy, as you know, it is difficult in South Carolina to add sports lessons. I'm going to call it a sport. Because it is cheer competition. And for the high school league to not really look at it and just approve it, that's pretty good to get anything by Jerome and his staff up there. But it's not easy ever starting up another sport at a school. We see it. That's why you don't see as much like lacrosse.
If you're down in the Columbia area, down towards Charleston, competitive cheer is huge.
It is huge. And like I said, so is, you know, the other sports. We're talking about lacrosse and some of the other ones down there. But that's just, I'm telling you, there's Coach Hyde again, you know, going out and saying, you know what, we got room for another one. We'll be glad to. You got the people for it. You got the coaches for it. We got the place to do it. So I'm excited.
I'll ask you this question. Who brings lacrosse to the Lakelands first? Will it be Coach Height, or do you think it's going to be Mr. Hudson?
That's a tough question, Tom, because
it's coming. We just don't have it here yet.
I'm going to be honest. I really would have told you Lawrence.
You think?
Mm-hmm. But I'm there again. I mean, is the coach the AD over there too?
No,
they have a new AD.
He doesn't have the AD duties.
I would, because that's the thing, Tom. When you start, and that was what was dicey for Bryce Libren, at Buford, was the fact that you lose players when you do this. I mean, you have more players wanting to play lacrosse and stuff like that than you do football. That's, to me, that's silly, but that's a different sport. I didn't come up in that era, but. They handle it really well, and like I said, he lost a good many players off of that team that went to the first championship year. A lot of them came back, and he won his championship the other year, and I mean, that's difficult because you got to think about, if you bring in lacrosse in, you're going to lose some stuff on your football side. You're just going to lose some players because it happens basically the same time of the year. So it'll be interesting to see. I don't think either one would veer away from it if there's a chance to get it, though. I think Coach Hudson and I think Coach Ike would be willing to bring it in if it benefits their schools.
Yeah.
And that's the way you have to look at it. Will it benefit or will it hurt? So, I mean, that's how you'd have to really look at that. But it'd be fun to see because you're starting to see it everywhere else. I think more so on the ladies' side of lacrosse. Now, does that take away from ladies' soccer, softball? I mean, what does ladies' lacrosse take away from? And that's just how you got to look at it. And maybe that may be what we see first is the ladies' side of it. Then if it works or if it is what it is.
Or do you bring in men's lacrosse and women's field hockey?
Kind of one the same, but I mean.
Kind of. One's just a little faster than the other.
Well, I'd like to see Hala. Let's bring Hala in here. I remember in Miami watching that. I was like, what in the devil is this, man? I thought I was going to watch a Marlins game, and a Hala game broke out before the game started in Miami. So. Anything to bring fans, Tom.
I got you. All right. Well, it's that time again. We're going to tell you about the South Carolina High School League. They went ahead and elected to go ahead and divide the 5A classification into two championships this time around. So you're going to have, the top teams, and then you're going to have the lower teams that go along with all that. But here's the kicker. They're only looking at 12. They haven't finalized this as of yet. Hopefully it's going to be finalized by the time the season starts. But they're looking at 12 teams for the 12 best teams in the larger classification as far as numbers go with the school. So only 12 teams there. And then the next 12 after that will be part of the lower classification. That's how they're looking at it now. So you're taking the top 24 teams all together and going from there. You know, this doesn't fare very well, in my opinion. With why not 16? Why 12? That's the number I've got a question with.
I mean, you got
54 teams total.
I was thinking we were looking at 16 little 32 is what I was hoping for, but you're going to give it to me. Did you watch this? Because I did not.
Watched it online.
I did not even think to pull it on the other day. And I mean,
you still go on YouTube and find it.
Do that today.
But yeah, it's going to be interesting to see if they do that. Which means it's even more important, and it's going to leave out teams that are 6-5, maybe some teams that are 6-4 at the end of the season.
You know, we joke about it sometimes, but sometimes that's a good thing. Because if you do have a team that has struggled all year and they get a player back, and only a player, and you do finish 6-5, I mean, you're really – nobody wants to give up. We all know that. Nobody wants to quit, go home. They all want to play for a chance to play in the playoffs. And I guess if that opportunity is there, then I'm all for it. I don't want to water down what we have with the playoffs by doing that. And that's what I liked about 16 and 32, and then now you're talking about 12. So it'll be interesting to see because now I'm more worried about teams getting left out that are good. So I'm not really worried about 7-5. You may have an 8-4 team that in conference is not that good. You know, I know how they go by different, factors in deciding this kind of stuff. But let's say you got a team, let's say Greenwood's 4-4, and then you got a team like Lawrence in the same league or Westside or whoever, and they go, 12-0, 9-0, or 9-3 or whatever. Somebody's getting left out of this playoff picture. And I mean, that's when it's going to be difficult with that situation, that scenario you're talking about right there. So I think first step is to come up with your 12 and then look at it and play your scenarios out and come back and, like you say, go a little bit more teams than what you got in 12 because, I mean, that's going to be difficult.
Going to be hard to match.
That's already difficult to look at what you got right there.
The thing is here with it being 12 teams, they also have to look at venues now. I mean, they already said that it's going to be down back in Orangeburg once again at South Carolina State. They've already approved that. They did, with all that. So did they add an extra a day? Where are they going to put this second game is the big question.
And, I feel bad for the 1A, 2A teams because they're the ones that get left out because they play Thursday night. and not a lot of people are there for that game unless you're with those schools. And I mean, I know Apple's never had a problem going down and playing it at wherever, Cyclone State or wherever, but I think if you got one in the Midlands already, so you've almost got to look at helping either the Gaffneys or the Collegiate Preps down in the lower part, Oceanside, Wando. I mean, you almost got to – that's not – you know, in the Midlands, really isn't a clear fit. I mean, it's, that's a long way from the coast, long ride from Greenville.
Well, the old time back when in the – you know, like you said, the Big 16 and Little 32 basically was we played the Division II 4A played on Friday night.
Yep.
And then everybody else played Saturday.
Saturdays.
To go along with that. With this new format that they've got, they're not playing every game on Friday. So do you start an early game? Do you have a new time game on Friday along with a 4 o'clock game and then a 7:30 or 8 o'clock game?
I think
go along with it and then – the rest of them on Sunday or Saturday.
Saturday. I like that better than that one game on Thursday night. Because, I like I said, a lot of times on Thursdays it's difficult to get there. I mean, we see what happens in Abbeville. Whole town shuts down. And the whole town goes to that game. And they may like it that way. They may would rather play on Thursday night. But, I mean, for fans, let's say for fans, I wish USC – and that would be something that Tanner could address. But, you know, why charge for these games in the first place? If you're going to make money on concessions, you're going to get a gate to the home or whoever the home team may be, why not just, instead of all this going away from Clemson and Carolina and it's just landing at South Carolina State or landing in Florence for basketball and Anderson, well, it's going back to Florence for wrestling, I heard, this year too. They did it in upstate at Anderson up there at the Civic Center. But, I mean – I don't have a problem with South Carolina State. I just think that it's a good haul from Gaffney if they've got to play Wando or Oceanside. I don't think that's really a fair split for either team. Plus, it puts you in one venue in one spot for, what, 10 years? Is that what the original deal is?
I'll have to go back and look.
Is it 5 or is it 10-year deal?
I would imagine. South Carolina State is only a 5-year deal, but they're not big into long-term stuff.
And the only thing down there is the parking aspect of it. I mean, you know, because, I mean – school's not going to probably be in anyway, but if it is, then you got South Carolina State has games too. Of course, I know all that's moved around to accommodate it, but just not the biggest Orangeburg fan for other reasons. So
we'll see what happens. You know, Greenwood is in a pretty doggone tough region. Can they make the top 24 as far as the best records go? That's going to be another factor.
It's going to be fun to see, and I guess that way you have to play your best. And there again, I think that will be one thing that I can't Coach Liner will look at when he's doing his schedules. And, you know, he loves to play his buddies, and they're usually really good teams. Now you got to almost take into account that our region's already tough enough.
Yeah.
Do we bring back the cupcake? I hope not. But
we're not going to see a Dutch Fork versus Gaffney kind of a thing because of the numbers at each of the schools. You know, Dutch Fork is up there in the top, 10, I guess? And Gaffney has fallen down there. We're closer to the 25 to 30 mark. So,
CSRA. Yeah,
we're not going to see the numbers we thought we were going to see, or the games we thought we were going to see.
Yeah, that's what I've already seen a cancellation this morning on CSRA, and it's Crest is backed out with Gaffney. Mm-hmm. So now, I mean, Crest beat them last year, of course, but that's because of North Carolina, their rules that they're implying. You know, so now you got a Gaffney team looking to play somebody, and of course, you know who's already stepped up. Great Collegiate. They've already raised that hand.
That's because IMG decided not to play with them.
Well, you stole my thunder on that one. IMG decided they're not going to play him. So it'll be an interesting time. We're going to see a lot of this probably, but I hope it kind of goes back like what we thought it would be, like Little 32. I'd rather see it that way than you having a team like a Greenwood, a Westside, an Emerald, who's 4A now, just getting left out because – They played a really good year. They didn't have enough wins. They were one or two wins short of what it needed.
There's going to be some 6-4 teams, maybe some 7-3 teams that don't get in.
Let's take an Emerald. No, we can't do that because Strom Thurmond's still 3A, correct?
Yep, they moved
to 3A. So they're moved to 3A. Yeah, that's just what it's going to be. And I mean, unfortunately, it's going to happen. Can't make everybody happy. Unless you're B-Rat. B-Rat, you brought the Braves and went over my Marlins again. Please stay away, man. I thought we had it last night. He's tomahawking me right now. But I really, I saw he was there. I said, man, that guy's got Ted Turner seats.
Telling you, Marvin Harris with the walk-off game winner in the 10th. That was all exciting.
So, and he got his bobblehead. So you got his bobblehead, and Haley will probably steal it. But like I said, when I saw B-Rez at a baseball game, I'm like, man, this guy goes everywhere. So, well, he's going to have to become an associate of the Lakeland Sports Guys and wear everything around. So, just so he can meet and greet people.
All right. Well, while we're talking about the South Carolina High School League, as far as the state goes, let's talk about the head coach changes because. If you are Wilson, you're saying, what? We just hired a coach 3 months ago back in January, and you did. Glenwood Furby was the head coach, took over for Rodney Mooney, and Furby basically came out and said that, you know, I just got a job offer from Butler, North Carolina at the high school up there, and that's where my family's from. Want to move a little bit closer. So he informed them last week that he was moving on, 2 weeks before spring practice begins. So he was the head coach at Wilson, is no longer there. He was there for 3 months and is gone to North Carolina. So now you've got, you know, six openings as far as head coaches jobs go. In the state of South Carolina with that Wilson job opening. You still have Travelers Rest, St. John's, Georgetown is still open, and then you have the Chapin and Central Pageland jobs to go along with that. So you still have six jobs that are left open.
And Chapin's going to be the – Chapin is 5A, I think. That's stunning, though, Tom. And we talk about Wilson a lot, the Florence area, man. There's a lot of good football down there. You got to have an assistant coach somewhere. That's all I can think of.
You're going to have to go with an interim coach for this year.
You're going to have to go with somebody that's there, an assistant that's been there. And that's the way you do it. I mean, that's more than likely that's how all of these teams are going
to
get.
Or do you go to South Florence or West Florence and try to get one of their coaches?
Yeah,
I mean, particularly South Florence. They've been to the state championship now 2 years in a row. So
yeah, pick an offensive, defensive coordinator, go and pick one of those off and poach.
And grab them.
The word is poach, by the way. we're going to go poach coaches and stuff like that. Now, we don't have that around here. Let me clarify because we got a legend just walking in here. We don't poach players. We go out and, you know, we just do what we keep doing. But we're doing high school league stuff, Ty, so welcome in whenever you want to put your headset on. So you got Wilson. Travelers Rest is an interesting job, the Devil Dogs, for football, because that's a pretty good little area for football, especially the region they play in. It's a fun region. And to not be able to bring a coach in for that staff, I mean, that's a little surprising.
Well, they haven't had a – yeah, they've been two and a half months since they've been searching. So
I mean, Georgetown I can see because that's just – that area is just growing crazy, the Myrtle Beach area. But – I mean, still, who wouldn't want to be a coach at Myrtle Beach? Come on. So.
Yeah, well, I like the Central Pageland one. They're up there, and that's considered now part of the suburbs, I guess you would say, of the Fort Mill, Rock Hill area is where a lot of those are looking. But
rich history, though.
And a lot of rich history that's going on if you want to look at that as well. And I've played many games at that old stadium back when I was covering Shaw and Chesterfield. So
the Indians.
Yeah. Lots of fun. All right, so we got all that going on. Well, now let's go ahead and get to the meat of the story, shall we?
Let's rock it.
All right. Let's talk softball because ladies softball has erupted in and around this week as far as region championships. Congratulations to Saluda. They won a region championship over 96 the other night. You know, it's phenomenal what Saluda has been able to do, what 96 has been able to do. Both these teams are going to be represented in the playoffs coming up next week to go along with all of that. Both of them are going to host first-round games in the process of all that. So big news there. But they went ahead and played for a region championship. Saluda coach Hannah Towery's second year that was there. They're 18-3 to go along with all that, and they win Region 2 2A. So.
That's impressive, Tom. And like I said, we didn't know how long it would take the little ponytails to move their ways on up, but evidently a couple of them have moved on up and helping out right now. So it's exciting. I mean, did I see where Abby won last night?
I believe so, yes.
Abbeville softball won last night, I think. So another one.
go along with all that. 96, by the way, you know, Evie Montgomery has been there. She's led 96 all season, did another fantastic job. This was another one of those all of these games, defense wins championships, correct?
If you've got
championships, you've got to have a good defense, and every one of these teams we're going to talk about has a really good defense.
Now it comes in your pitching and stuff like that, to me. And who has that better pitcher? Because, you know, they're going to have to go out and they're going to go. I mean, if you're a starting pitcher in softball, it's not like baseball where you got three or four different ones. You're the pitcher. You got to go out there and do your job and handle it. And I think that's what we've seen at Greenwood. We've seen at Abbeville, now 96, now Saluda. So we're in that meet now, as they call it, of the playoffs. So it's going to be fun. And we're going to see who can move on. We got a lot of the playoffs getting ready to start, so it's going to be fun times.
Greenwood is one of those. Softball team last night ended up with a big win, ends up Region 1 4A once again. This time a 3-0 win over their rival in the Red Raiders. Anytime we can beat the Red Raiders.
The Ville is what we call it. So.
I am for that. But it's their first undefeated region softball title ever. Yeah. That they've ever had.
So. That says a lot, too, because, like I said, this is a good girls team over there, I'm telling you. I've seen once or twice play. They're really good. They're solid.
So it all starts with their coach and what she's been able to do.
Yep.
To go along with all that. But how it all unfolded, it was really the bottom of the fifth inning that kind of was the highlight of this game, because Najee Carroll had a big hit that was there, and then Zoe Montgomery comes in, launches a triple to go along with that, making this solid. Some more. I mean, it was just a solid play. So liking what we're seeing from there. And then Dixie softball, again, another region championship for them. They're going to be playing at Greenwood in the first round of the playoffs versus Whitmire for a region championship. So we'll
Sam
see.
Coming home, coming back this way.
We'll see if you want to check it out tomorrow night, that's the game to go to. That'll be over there at Greenwood High, Whitmire, and Dixie for another region championship title.
That sounds fun. It does. Weather permitting, as they say. So.
And Sam, part of that coaching staff over there, she's won many championships at Dixie High School in both volleyball and softball, and she's part of the main reason that they're there where they are now.
And she's got rings for toes and fingers, by the way.
She's got
from her playing
everywhere.
Days.
She's got them everywhere. And then looking at baseball-wise, where Shoals baseball, they ended up sweeping Dixie to earn their region championship this week. Jaden Johnson steps up at the plate and ends up being the game hero.
That's come from behind, isn't it? Wasn't that a coming out from behind win? Yeah.
So they end up winning 6-3 win at Dixie High School and clinched the Region 1-1A title to go along with all that. But, I'm excited to see J.P. Medlin. An opportunity to see, not to only see him play football, but now ended up playing baseball
as well. Yeah, he's a talented kid, man. He can definitely play on Saturday also. So it's interesting to see where he goes.
And then Stalen Johnson, who ended up pitching four hitless innings in this game as well, before he was taken out in the fifth, did a phenomenal job. Dixie is. They're going to be a challenge for anybody, I think, in the playoffs coming up next week.
Yeah. I've been impressed when you and I went over for the football game, that what they've done to the baseball field over there as well. I mean, put some new lights in there. It looks sharp over there. So, I mean, Tom, you're Lakeland is going to be here now, man. It's going to be – you're going to have Lakeland versus Lakeland versus Lakeland. So, it's going to be – somebody's going to get knocked out, unfortunately, but it's going to be good baseball, good softball. Okay. And I can't wait.
We'll see how it goes. Emerald had a up and down week this week. They ended up losing to Pendleton High School early in the week, but then they come back and beat Chester 15-3 at the end of last week. So, I mean, it's kind of been that kind of a season, I guess, more or less, for a very young team.
And that's the key. I think that's the key. That's one thing that Coach Height told us when we did the interview. He said, man, we're young. We got some knuckleheads on this team. Going to make some knucklehead kind of plays. And they're starting to play together. The loss to Pendleton, I mean, Pendleton's a really good baseball team. And then to beat a Chester team, they've got a fairly good record, Tom, in region. So, I mean, that was a good win for Coach Height and them the other night.
Yeah, Tucker Meredith again, 2-for-4 for the plate. Justin Scott was 3-of-5. Aaron Polly, 2-of-2. And Colson Marino went 2-of-5 at the plate. So.
Good pitching in that game too, man.
Lots of fun. And then looking at tennis wise, tennis is getting underway this week as far as the championships go. Matter of fact, when you look at the boys for a tennis bracket as of right now, Greenwood ended up with a bye earlier in the week on Tuesday. So Wade Hampton had to end up playing Indianland. They end up winning 6-0 in that tennis match. Now they get Greenwood coming up today. That should be a fun one to watch as well as they come and they're going to be headed out. And I'm told that those games, tennis matches, are going to be, I believe, at Lander.
Yeah, probably over here beside Dolney.
As well, they get underway about
that's a good matchup there, by the way, those two teams.
And then Lawrence also comes up with a big win. They beat the Snakes at Catawba Ridge, end up winning that one 5-1 in that match. They get South Aiken.
Oh, wow.
And South Aiken's the number one seed.
Yeah, that's what, yeah. Well, you know, we went over there for football whenever they built Catawba Ridge. It was built, like I told you, it was built for the football, but mainly golf and tennis, the two big individual sports that you would so speak, I guess you'd say. But so, yeah, I mean, South Aiken got that number one seed, man. That's a little ride, too, by the way, Tom.
It is. And then how about Emerald beating Belton Honeypath in tennis, the 2 seed versus the 3 seed back at the beginning of the week. Emerald ends up winning 4-2. They get their hands full, though. They get number one Chapman and the Panthers, who were 7-0, went totally undefeated as far as all the singles and also in the doubles matches. So
we joke about it, man. I don't want to – that's the reason I always told Stan, I don't want to be undefeated, man. I don't want to lose that. I don't want my last match to be a loss, man. That's why me and Stan went at it about Gamecock basketball this year. I'd rather have that loss somewhere instead of that last game like last year for the Gamecocks. But should be a good matchup, though, Tom. They play – I mean, when you're talking about tennis, you're talking about 1 and 2. You got your single guys.
You got your top five
singles. Your medalists. I mean, just like with golf. I mean, anything can happen on any given day. Let's say that number one player for Chapman comes out, rolls an ankle. We don't want nothing like that to happen, but it could. And that's when you got to take advantage of the situation. And, I mean, they play good enough to get there. Let's go ahead and take another one.
All right. And then you look at who Emerald will end up playing. If they do win against Chapman, they'll either get Daniel or Powdersville. Both of them went undefeated in their last match earlier in the week. Daniel ended up beating Broome 6-0, and Powdersville swept Woodruff 6-0.
I was going to ask you if there was anybody that had not been beat yet. Because it looks like Emerald, that's going to be their point of origin. It's going to be somebody that hadn't been beat yet.
Well, so pretty much all the number one seeds, with the exception of Clinton. So Clinton went 4-2, had a hard time with Fountain Inn, went undefeated in 3A.
Awesome.
So good luck to the Vikings as they take on Chapman.
Santa Horn.
It'll be fun to watch. Go along with it. All right. Who else did I have in here as far as match day ends up going? Boys tennis, just make mention of it that the Greenwood is taking on Wade Hampton. That's at 5 o'clock tonight.
Okay.
So it is today. And that will be at Lander at the tennis courts. Just want to double check, make sure. All right. Got anything else? Oh, golf. How can I forget golf? We got to talk about Greenwood's golf season because they continue to roll on. They had Westside earlier this week. We mentioned that on Monday that they were taking on Westside, just kind of solidify in wrapping up the season. And they did it in style, 169-151. Cameron Addis, again, another great game. He shot a 38. Bryson McCurry, a 38. Jalen Fisher had a 40. But it was the junior and Keegan Farmer who really highlighted everything. Thing. He went 1 under par to 35.
Mm. You got 3 scores under 40.
Yeah.
Out of 4.
That's strong.
You were going to – let me – and where they play this one at? You know, I like the golf courses up there. Let's see if it's Westside.
That was Westside Cobb Glen.
Oh, Snob's Glen. I mean, Cobb Glen. Just kidding. Ty knows if he's ever played out there, man, I'm going to tell you, they treat you like trash. So that's why I say that. They probably treat the high school guys good, but if you just go out there to play the golf, nah. They won't even serve you a hamburger, Tom, if you're hungry. That's why I call it Snob's Glen.
All right.
But a good call, but hey, I don't know that I've ever. That's a first for me. 3 out of 4 golfers that are under 40. That's incredible.
Mm-hmm.
So Chip Witt, keep going.
He's doing well.
Keep going.
But Monday at Stony Point, that'll be the Region 1 4A championship. Should be fun as Greenwood's going to host it at their home course.
I like it.
Go there, and then Emerald. They were involved in a big golf tournament, the Bobcat Invitational out at Cross Creek Country Club in Seneca. They ended up finishing 15th overall. Bo Lawrence, the lowest medalist, he shot an 82. Logan Epley, Anthony Lipp, he had Leyden Cole, Dalton Williams, and Eli Bichetti as the alternate, also participating in all that. So congrats to them in that tournament. Their next golf match coming up on Tuesday of next week, they're going to go against Chester.
Ooh.
In a contest here at Greenwood Country Club. So sound the horn there.
GCC, man. Yeah. That's a good course they played up in Seneca.
Be fun to watch.
Cross Creek. Yeah.
Yep.
Yeah, lots of fun. I think that's all I've got. I know there's something I'm missing. Somebody I'm missing. But we'll have more as far as
you're missing soccer for one.
That's what it was. The okay. Emerald Vikings soccer team, girls soccer, 3-1 against Lawrence earlier this week. They went ahead and jumped totally out of region, out of classification, and moved one up. And that game was at Lawrence.
It was.
End up with a 3-1-0. So, you know, Coach Hughes continues to roll on.
Had the bus coming in, all the bus was wrapped, it was washed, it was clean. Windows were down, people were hollering it. I mean, it looked like a little mini parade bringing them home, but congratulations to Coach Hughes and that team. So,
yeah, and we're trying to get him on, so it's I've been playing phone tag.
That's all good, like I said. That might be one of those, we just have to go knock on a door and, you know, Coach DeBose will let us over there, Coach Hyde. Hey, if we can get a little spot at the baseball field again right there, man, that's a podcast waiting to happen. Have you been there yet, Ty? Have you seen the one at Emerald?
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
That's a nice little, we call it the basement, which I'm buying in the basement anytime you want to put me there. So they did a good job with that.
Well, I call it the VIP treatment.
Yeah, that's what Coach Bennett called it, too, because he wasn't in there and we were. So
well, I need to go over there. You know? I have been, but I half need. You know?
Well, you need to go with us, man, because like I said, that's your VIP right there.
It's fun to go along with all that, but Ty Vines joining us here on the Lakeland Sports Guys, and you've been busy with Gall and everything else in post 20 and what's happening with all of that. And we mentioned Gall back on Monday and the events that they've been having. They continue to roll.
Oh, yeah.
I watched it last night, I think. Was it last night or Tuesday?
I was out there Tuesday.
It was Tuesday. That's when I tried to catch up with the game and really good time. I love to see what they do with the kids.
I've been doing a good bit of rec, to be honest with you, too.
Yeah.
But yeah, that was a good game there.
I was waiting on you to have your umpire now, but when you came in, I know probably got a game tonight.
I got a game tonight.
See there,
got 2-96. Yeah. So.
Oh wow.
Yeah. The it's busy out there, man. I had a great game the other night. It was one undefeated team, and of course it was about their biggest competition, and their biggest competition beat them the other night. So. My record still holds that we were the last 12-0 team to go out and 12-0.
There you go, man. And that's what's going to keep it going.
Just because I was umpiring doesn't mean I was pulling for that underdog.
I got you. Hey, that's your right, man. Just tell it after the game's over. Don't dare mention it while the game's going on.
But I saw a really good one as far as youth. In 96 Monday night behind the plate, these kids were just throwing strikes. Dawson McDonald.
Yeah.
Carson's little brother.
Right.
He was throwing really good, and there's a golf kid, I can't remember his first name, over there. But two good 96 games.
When I did umpire, I didn't get those games. I got the ones where I got to make the strikes come into play somehow.
Yeah.
Those are difficult.
Yeah.
When you got a kid throwing 75 balls and you got to get him out of this game, man, come on. And the coach isn't doing anything to help you. He's not moving, taking him out and moving him anywhere else. So, you know, that strike zone's got to increase.
Yeah.
And then you get booed.
Which is fine. You say that like last night. It was, you know, you got your catcher so far back. I mean, like, you need to move up because he'll catch it right here. But it went across the plate at the eyeballs.
So you're doing the right thing because the coach, he evidently either doesn't know to tell him to do it or you're telling him so you can get the call, man. Come on.
Yeah.
Coach, I'm helping here. I'm not hurting. I'm helping.
But as far as Legion, man, tell you what, my brother's over there right now cleaning the concession stand up. So as far as pressure washing it down and all that good stuff. So.
Well, I don't think you've been back home since you made your JV hire. We talked about it.
I don't think so.
A bunch.
Yeah.
Ad nauseum, as Tom would say. We've really been pounding post 20, and it's because it's a really good thing. I'm trying to figure out a way to keep B-Rad from going to Atlanta for every baseball game. Because the G-Braves were here too, man. Come on. They used to be over there at post 20. And so What's new going on over there? What you got? We other than your brother's cleaning up and doing stuff at the. What's next for post 20? We've already talked about the schedule that I guess you got to pull up again, which we'll talk about again since you're here. But really good hire, and it was one that I didn't see coming. You told me that it would be kind of a not an off the wall hire, but it'd be one that you would understand if you'd been a part of post 20
right.
baseball.
Right, and Coach Hamby has been for the last couple of years. He's a Lawrence kid, but you know. Kind of reached out to me too. He said, "Hey man." So I was like, "You know what? I kind of like that enthusiasm, that energy, you know." So well, I'm glad to have him.
And he's kind of close enough to what these kids are today almost.
Yes. I mean, yeah.
To where he can relate to their needs and what they're going to be dealing with also. And I thought that's why it was out of park higher.
Well, when Mason is if he can get the kids to play the way he played, because he was a tough out. Against anybody we played, he was a tough out. And if he can bring that same energy to these young kids, yeah, we're gonna be just fine.
Well, you're gonna be fine. You're gonna be fine anyway.
He's got an assistant, Jonah McCrary, which also played for us last year from Saluda.
Yep, Saluda.
They were roommates this past fall at Lander. I'm not sure if they still are or not. But
Jonah's a real talent too. That's even better to hear. Mm-hmm. So
yeah, but as far as everything going, you know.
You're about underway, man. You're almost as close as the draft is tonight. It won't be long. We'll be talking about post 20, man.
Month away from tryouts. Yes.
We're excited.
Yeah. Yeah. We're a month away. I've been talking to Coach Slack. We'll be out at the field next week just cleaning it up and, you know, edging it. And not that the county don't do that. We, you know, we like to go in there and do our little thing, too. So.
Well, it shows promise that you're willing to help with it, too. So it's just not – we don't just lay it on the county, but you like to get them out there and get it done. I like to see the kids out there doing – you know, picking up some trash and stuff like that, man. As a team, I mean, a lot of people look at that from the county and they say, man, these guys are out here on Saturday mornings. They're cutting grass. They're like you say, trimming, hedging, whatever you got to get done. I mean, that's a good thing, and I think people around town like to see it.
Yeah. Well, Roundup works wonders. You know?
And, well, you're right. Just don't teach them how to do it too good.
Yeah, that's right.
The big thing going on out there is all the improvements that they're having to the park and rec department.
Yeah.
And, you know, I drove by there last week after I went by Greenwood Sandwich Shop and just out of curiosity, I'll drive by and see what's going on. The parking lot in front of the field is huge. Yeah. It's still as big as it ever was. It hasn't changed in that regard. So all that work, folks worrying about parking, we don't have to worry about that at all.
We got plenty. Well, I'd like to have a problem.
Well, we want to have a problem.
Well, Santa wants that problem, too. He's not here to tell you, but he wants that problem also. He wants his field.
Yeah. And I don't see why that can't be worked soon.
Well, that's what I was kind of thinking whenever they tore the animal hospital or the whatever the little thing was right there.
Shelter. Yeah.
That you kind of had the backside of it, and then you had what goes on back a little ways is wood still. And then combining back in behind, you know, post 20. But probably not enough room for that, but – I mean, I thought the thought process was there that maybe that's where you might try something like that. Yeah. Keep them close together. So.
Well, I'd love that. Yeah, that would be ideal.
Architecture's nightmare, by the way, to try to figure that out.
And as far as the softball, you know, it looks like things are just going to just be crazy this year.
Softball tryouts are going to be nuts with all the teams that are winning like they are.
And, right, and that's the thing, too. You know, we the winning, but also Coach Slack and I, he came over to my house last week sometime, and we're just running down a list of kids that say they're going to play post 20 baseball or wanting to play. I mean, you got to earn your spot, you know. And the list, we got a good problem.
It's a who's who kind of a way.
We have a good problem.
I like to hear when you got all regions wanting to play, fighting over spots for a team, too. Yeah. So that'll be fun, Ty.
Yeah.
That'll be fun.
Yeah. But I do want to give a little, in a few people, if that's okay.
Yeah, man, go ahead.
As far as Legion and people that help, they just really good. They just step up and do whatever they need to. I mean, you've got Joe and Tina Ponder, Wyatt Loftus, Fred Malone, Terry Weeks, Randy Barnes, Joe Lowry, Randall Crouch. These are the Legionnaire people. Not Joe and Tina's not, but the Legionnaire people just out there. Jim Hull, just take the tickets or run the scoreboard. You know Joe and mm-hmm. Randy in the booth there. It's also in the concession stand. Joe and Tina, my mother, my brother Russell Vines, he's my best friend next to my wife. That's another one that helps out there. Catherine, or Missy, we call her Missy. My daughter, Gracie, my niece, Kaylee. But, of course, we can always use some more help. So, around, we need to get the stadium blown out as far as a blower, that kind of thing. So, we're always looking for somebody to step up and do something. So.
Team cleanup day, man. Get it out there. Let us know, man. We can help. We'd be glad to help.
Yeah,
you're pretty good with a paintbrush.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. But you can tell, man. Mine's more graffiti, but we're not going to talk no more about that. But, I just think, man, Ty, everything. You know, Tom and I, we went to Augusta for the Masters thing. We were doing some stuff with it. We were talking about incorporating some of the guys that run these leagues around here, like Russell Parsons and Ware Scholes, T's in 96, who you'll see tonight, Brad Caudill, who I knew from McCormick, now is at Greenwood. And we were trying to come up with a way to bring him in for a podcast, which you could definitely be a part of, because mm-hmm. You could probably round it up for me. I mean, I know Russell and several of the other ones, and I just think that's another way to put the it's what I'm looking for, how great that these guys are to helping you as well.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah.
With the rec teams, as he's always talking about. So,
and we're making a Lakeland's like championship,
yeah, exactly,
kind of a thing,
and
where you take the top teams out of each of those age groups and have them play against each other.
Because I remember talking to Russell whenever he went up to Ware Scholes, and I think they'd lost everything pretty much, funding maybe, and even stuff like that. And I knew Russell because he was the only guy I ever played softball with that had a ring, a world championship softball ring, which he did shine at us at the Masters, by the way. He weighed us with it to show he still had his.
Oh.
But yeah, Brad was in McCormick for a long time. He's in Greenwood now. T does a great – we know what T's done in 96.
Oh, yeah.
If you hadn't been to 96 to see what they've done over there, they've done wonders of things over there. And so, like I said, that's just a podcast we're talking about doing in the future to kind of maybe combine it in with Post 20, because I know those guys do probably help you out some as it goes on.
They do. So. They do. Just call them up. They pretty much –
I know most of them.
I
play enough softball with most of those guys, except Brad. I don't really know Brad that well. Caudill.
Yeah. Now, you made mention of the players that you got, a list that Coach Slack has got that is on there and everything else that's going on. Have you looked at the list and see if that list matches what everybody's telling you versus who's registered already?
Yeah. And there's some kids that need to register.
Okay.
They're saying they're playing. But, you can look on there and see who's registered. You can go on the site there and see what players are registered. So
it hits that little blueprint thing I told you.
Yeah.
I love that, by the way, that you're doing that like everything else, So you make it easy. It's not like you got to go in there and just, or hurt a site down.
Oh, it's very easy.
So, and I mean, we're not going to let you call anybody out that needs to get signed up really quick.
No.
But they know who they are.
Yeah.
So go and get signed up.
Well, the thing is, if you look on the junior team, there's some kids on there that will be playing on the senior team.
I got you.
Couple.
So you got to recruit a little bit lower down too, then. So.
Well, they gonna play up. I mean,
exactly. Right.
I'll just give one hint. He was Index Journal Lakeland's Player of the Year last year.
Okay.
That's young enough to play juniors, but we'll be playing seniors. Yeah.
He's worked his way to that, anyway.
Yeah.
I do know that one, by the way. So.
I'm anxious to get it started. I've already started on the music and making sure I'm updating all that stuff. So it'll be fun at the ballpark, will it?
Yeah, I got to get some days together for alumni night and God and Country night, that kind of thing. So Veterans night.
Well, you released the schedule far as that was just the region schedule or league schedule.
Yeah, there was one I put in even after I posted. I think. The second week, which is June 10th, mm-hmm. We're going to do a home-and-home with North Augusta.
Okay.
That's not our league, so we're going to do a home-and-home with them. I'm trying to get a home game on the Tuesday or Wednesday or Thursday. Well, Thursday's kind of hard to do. I think it was a Greenwood High School banquet or something, but Tuesday or Wednesday, and then Friday is graduation, so it's got to be Tuesday or Wednesday after Memorial Day. With someone, could be a local travel team or something like that, just to so sort of, you know, kick the season off a little bit, you know, because it's going to be so busy that week with kids still in school,
right,
and the graduation up, you know, till Friday. So just trying to get something in there to play on that Tuesday or Wednesday after Memorial Day.
You do.
Yeah, I was surprised, though, with the league that you're in, that, you know, Greenville used to have two teams, and they didn't even have a team this year that I know of.
That's the Golden Strip team.
Is it? Okay.
That's the – which kind of kicked Lawrence out from underneath. I mean, they kicked Lawrence out from underneath us because their home school was Hillcrest.
I see.
So they're closer – they're zoned for Hillcrest. And right. This Golden Strip post 271, I think it's Malden, but they're using Hillcrest as their base school. So that actually brings
brings Lawrence in closer.
Mm. Yeah. And Coach Jason Pridgen is coaching that, which is Owen Pridgen and Lawrence's dad. Aiden Pridgen, which plays at Columbia International, played for us, though. Mm-hmm. You know, so.
As did Chase.
Yeah. Yeah. So, but that's where the Greenville team is.
Gotcha.
Okay. And they're in our league.
Yeah.
So it's us, Golden Strip, Easley, Anderson, and Chapin Newberry. I think that's it.
Okay.
I don't think I'm missing anybody.
That's who we were talking about, the Chapin Newberry. That's who we're talking about.
Let's see. They have a big, broad. I mean, you know, they go from Clinton to Dutch Fort. You know, you just go straight up 26. Because they're right in the middle. Right. They can pull from here and they can pull from that end. So, and they actually can pull from Saluda, but I'm trying to – see if they'll release some of those kids to us. So,
speaking of a Pridgen, I saw one sign yesterday. Did I not, from Lawrence High School?
Yeah, Owen Pridgen. That's his dad.
So he's going to Erskine, or
he's going to.
One went to Gardner Webb. One went to Limestone. But there were five guys yesterday from. It was Lawrence Day, evidently.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. I know the football team got two at Erskine. So Coach Boyd and I saw where the Pridgen kid did go to one of the
Southeast Community College or something like that.
That's it.
Got one going to Coker.
Yep, Coker. Cobras.
I think that's Hunter Neighbors. I think that's his name. So
I had everything written in the notebook, but my mind didn't.
Yeah, they had a big day yesterday.
It was Lawrence Day to sign, so yeah, they had like five guys signed yesterday for different sports.
Yeah, it was pretty big.
I remember the Pridgen because of Chase, of course.
Yeah, they've got a good program over there. Coach Patterson's he's got those kids locked in over at Lawrence.
So,
of course, that's why they won region championship, too. So
one thing I like to do that he don't like me to do is, going into this, who's the team we got to look out for in your region?
In our region?
Us.
That's what I'm saying. But, I mean,
we got to be ourselves.
Who's that team? Last year was Anderson, because I want to go up there myself and start something. But
yeah.
that team that's going to be that headache for post-20, if there is one.
I tell you who's working hard, really hard, is Jonathan Hall up at Easley. He is, and he's got his nose to the ground, and he's doing a real good job. He's got lots of kids signed up, so you know, I think that's gonna be the one that we have to tackle
to
the
hear,
hardest.
Man. Well, and it's good to always know that. I mean, like I said, Dad, you need to know who is gonna be that thorn in your side when the season starts. Mm-hmm. So, I mean,
we beat them 2 out of 3 last year.
Good deal. Coach, we're coming again.
But you know, maybe in 3 out of 4. I think we beat them 3 out of 4 because they beat us here. We went up there and beat them. Then we played them a double hitter here and swept them. That's right. So we won 3 out of 4.
I just remember Anderson, for some reason we were talking about it. I was like, they were like the.
Anderson pretty good last year. I think they won the. I think they won the league last year.
Yeah, I think they did. That was one of the things. I was like, yeah, man,
we get to open up with Anderson.
Oh, that's fine. Greer did. Greer did.
Okay.
And Greer's was. I mean, they're in another league up there with Spartanburg and Emin, and all that crowd up there.
I remember back in our days, it was that Florence team always had something. They have always had like a post team there, and Bamberg and some of them other ones down near the low country. But
they won the World Series last year.
Yeah.
Florence did.
Yep.
Yeah. I went up there to watch it. So, yeah.
And they beat us, 2 years ago? Wasn't that who beat
us? Yeah, they beat us in the Final Four. Yep. Yeah. We beat Richland down there, and the next day we went down there and opened up the bottom of the first. I think we had 3 score 3 runs, and it and then their pitcher just locked in the rest of the game and, you know, just took us down.
Teased us, man. They teased us.
Yeah.
But awesome, man. What else you got from Post 20, man?
Oh.
You got any spoilers? Well, you already said you're working on certain nights that you're going to do. Mm-hmm. They usually fall in line, I guess, with what you've done over the past 88 years or whatever.
Yeah.
And you need to do that because, like I said, a lot of people get used to things like that. So we'll have you on right before the season starts and finalize what we got going. And
We're just excited to get ready to go. I know Coach Slack is.
Has he chosen his staff as of yet?
Yeah. Derek Tietzort, he knows these lots of these young kids. He coached them a few years back. He's the assistant. And Bryson Metz, we're hoping he was on staff last year, and we're hoping he'll be back with us. He was an intern for his.
I remember, because you had to sign off on.
Yes, that's right. Yeah, that's right. I did. Yeah. He goes to Montreat. I think he graduates this year, so he's hopefully he's going to help us out again. Yeah, and of course, like I said, Mason and Joan on the JV side or junior side, should say JV junior side.
And Dale.
That's exciting, man. I have a JV that's going to compete with them seniors up here. They're going to get push the button and get it going. So, like you said, I love the fact there's competition. You want your spot, earn it, man.
Yeah,
but not giving, earn.
Right, so. And that's there's going to be some kids heartbroken maybe this year.
It won't be the kids. It'll be the parents. Yeah, it won't be the kids.
Right, and you're right because the kids can overcome it pretty easy.
Well, the tryouts are 3 days, so you've got if you have a bad day, you've got a chance to rectify yourself. So,
well, Monday and Tuesday is going to be like a more of a workout drills and that kind of thing, and then Wednesday is going to be a like an inter squad type scrimmage to see where we at.
Mm-hmm. So that might be a day we need to sneak over and cross that fence real quick.
I'll be there. I'll be there. I'll probably be there for the.
We'd like to have anybody there. And I'll be there. Not coaching. I mean, nope. That's his Coach Slack and his
crew.
They'll
let you do everything else.
I don't. Sometimes I find myself sticking my nose in it. And I don't need to. Just cause I'm.
Well, the good thing is, though, Ty.
So into it, I guess.
You got those guys they'll tell you to step back. You got a hard enough job as it is, Coach. We got this. And that's luckily the people you hired. That's what needs to take place.
Yeah.
That's what I talk about, a head coach and coordinators go along the way. Sometimes the coordinators think they know more and they just gotta be put down. Not like that. Not like that, Ty.
My gosh.
And that's the thing too, you get gripes from a parent or something like that, and they'll say, "Well, aren't you in charge?" I said, "I am, but I'm also here to support my coach."
There you go.
I am in charge. Yes,
a true athlete.
But
I like it.
He's here to do a job, and it's my.
Like I trust him to do the job.
Yeah. Yep. Exactly.
I understand.
Yeah.
Awesome.
So that's, why would I have a coach if I'm going to coach?
We just see it a lot in sports, and I know you do too. So, you see it a lot as a umpire, I know. Yeah. So.
And there's one thing I've learned in umpire this year. And I don't do high school yet. I don't do the big, things. But I have seen this. And I'm trying my best now because I see it outside and I look in and I'm like, is these umpires engaging with the crowd. You don't have to engage with the crowd. There's only one person you need to engage with, or two. It's the coach of that team, it's the coach of that team. What goes on behind you? It's hard. Don't get me wrong. It is so tough not to engage with the crowd when they own your back and this and that. The best thing to do is just walk that away. And if I keep talking, they just keep talking, and eventually they'll be quiet. But that's one thing I've learned at high school. I've seen it a couple times this year, is they'll turn around and start talking to a parent or something about a call and stuff like that. You don't have to explain it to them. You can explain it to this guy over here.
Let their coach explain it to them.
Yeah.
You better than I am, because they used to make me mad. I just
it's tough.
So we shouldn't. I mean, I know he knows about Savannah Bananas, man, and the umpires they got. That's what you need to do. Yeah. You need to be a part of that banana crowd. That's Tom's team, by the way.
I found out those umpires they have a choreographer that helps them out.
I imagine they make as much as the players do. Especially that one guy with the little beard, man. That guy's great.
Yeah.
But they're no longer a baseball team, are they? They're more of just a celebrity team that travels the world.
That's all they are now, yeah, pretty much.
Now, if I can get my bacon back where they need to be. So.
Well, that and the eggs.
Well, they're an alter ego. I ain't worried about them. Right. So
should be fun watching Post 20 go on. And we talk about teams that are successful. And I don't know if you've seen any of the Lander baseball team as of yet this year. And
I've missed one game.
Are they not phenomenal this year compared to last year?
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. It's I don't know what happened, but yeah.
Well, see, that was my question. What do you attribute to? Because Coach Burt just smiled. All he did was smile.
Injuries, but. It seems like the bullpen has stepped up this year. And last year, I mean, they'd have a 6-0 lead in the fourth or fifth, and then all of a sudden have to start calling on the bullpen, and the other team start chipping away, and all of a sudden they win it. I think that's what it may be. But also, I think it's just a matter of finding a way to win. You know, what have they won now, 16 straight or something like that?
That's attitude, man.
Yeah.
You win, that's going to change what happens on that team.
Yeah.
But I like what Burt's done this year, man. Like I said, we were kind of hesitant last year of some of the stuff going on with like we were talking about bullpen. But like I said, we can't say anything bad now, man, because they are rolling.
Yep, 14-game win streak is what they're on right now. Yeah. And best of all, they're 16-5 at home. Mm. And
they only have to win one this weekend, right?
One against Georgia Southwestern in order to wrap up the number one spot.
And they start. It's Friday, Saturday, Sunday, right? Yeah.
Well, yeah, that surprised me that they're actually going to Sunday game.
Yeah.
With this one, so.
They're going to knock it out.
I love
night.
A Sunday afternoon game out there, to be honest with you. You get out of church and you go get something to eat. You can just go straight over there.
But
I will say this. This is the first. I missed one game this year. I think it's just one. Maybe two. I think I did miss a midweek game with Lander. I'm missing this weekend. Before all things get crazy, I'm going to go out of town for a little bit. For a couple of days. Me and the wife going to go up to the beach. So
it'll be fun. But Georgia Southwestern comes to town. It'll be at Dolney, as you said. Friday's game is at 6 o'clock in the evening. Saturday, they get 2 o'clock game, and then the 1 o'clock game on Sunday to go along with it. And already they're saying it looks like Catawba College is going to be their first opponent.
Oh, really?
So that's
possibility.
Well, will they be in a – they'll host a conference tournament, though, won't they?
They will.
Okay. Yeah. Okay. If they win it.
Right.
Okay. Yeah.
That's how PBC – that's another one I've never understood, like with basketball this year.
You know, Coach Burke tried to explain it to us, and it is a bit odd because the first four teams get to play at home. Everybody else has to play.
Okay.
It's that new little.
Okay. Yeah.
Kind of round robin.
At a neutral site kind of a thing. So. Yeah.
I got you.
He explained it whenever you caught what he was saying. I was I'm in left field out of my glove, man. Simplify, Coach Burke. Simplify. He said, there's no way. This is what we came up with. He said, when coaches come up with stuff, it's like that. So, but yeah, good year for Lander in the Peach Belt. So.
Yeah. You look at the standings right now, Lander, of course, number one in the Peach Belt. You got Georgia College behind them. Georgia Southwestern is third. North Georgia is fourth. North Georgia seems to give them the biggest trouble, though. Columbus State, Flagler, Augusta down there, USC Aiken, Buford, and Claflin rounding out the Peach Belt.
Whole class.
So they had a hard week last week.
I think they've lost 38
in
a row.
Yeah, it's not good.
They're 0-24 in the season, yeah.
In the conference.
Back to next year. Last year, yeah.
Yeah.
That's tough.
We got one kid from there.
1-40 overall, I'm sorry, is this year.
Overall 1-40, yeah. I think they won the second game of the season or something like that, second or third game of the season. Yeah.
On a 39-game losing streak.
That's tough.
In baseball, that's very
that's
tough.
Just, I mean, I wouldn't even know where to start to overcome it.
Yeah, you know, we look at the White Sox, what are they, 3-21 or something like that?
No, you get started with a low team. I'm a Marlins fan, man. I have a hard time as a Marlins.
Yeah, it was fun teasing him this week. So. And I almost had to eat crow from last night's game.
That was close.
Yeah, that was close. Yeah.
That was, goodness gracious.
Yeah.
We just sell everybody. I mean, we like fire sales in Miami. I don't know what we do that for, but anyway. Makes me want to put the old Padres hat back on. So.
And then Erskine baseball, they had two games this week. They ended up losing to Lincoln Memorial in that game, 10-4. And then previously in the week, they went ahead and took down Toccoa Falls. Thanks to Cole's gem arm, once again, 9-1 was the final.
Solid, man. I'm telling you, he's throwing.
I saw where the was it the club baseball over there won their little conference championship in there at Erskine.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. It's good to have kids continue to play, whether it's club or whatever, you know. It's just,
you're starting to see more of that now. Yeah. As we bring in new sports, well, that's what we were talking about when you walked in, was new sports in certain areas. So, yeah, he was asking me about stuff like lacrosse. But I see it all the time in Buford, though, man. Buford, I'm telling you, Bryce Lybrand is lucky to hold on to his team to play football to win a state championship this past, the other year. But it's difficult because I'm telling you, a lot of kids love it more than they do football. It doesn't take up as much time, and it's a little bit faster game. So, we'll have to talk about it when it comes because, like you said, we'll figure out who was right, who was wrong. I don't, if it's Irma, if it's Greenwood.
We'll see how it goes. Yeah. But you guys got anything else?
Ty, I appreciate it, buddy. Anytime, man.
Thank you. I appreciate you all.
Always come in here and talk post 20 with us and educate me, man. Educate me.
As we always do. Reminder, though, that if you are a player looking to get into post 20 baseball or softball, for that matter, you need to go to American League Baseball.
SCALB.org.
That's it.
Hit the QR code like you would ordering a baseball game for your Xbox. That's all you got.
SCALB.org. And as far as the softball, my phone number, too. You can use that, 864-407-8876. I can lead you, whatever you need to do.
Simple enough.
Yeah.
The All AD. Right. He's got a new title, the AD.
Ty Rines, we appreciate you coming in, talking with us. That's Chris Dex. I'm Tom Carroll, and we are the Lakeland Sports Guys. Have a great week.